start towards the next stop. First of all, just a ha'ara, Isaac brought to my attention that I understated the Tosas HaRush, and he's correct. In other words, I was trying to use the Tosas HaRush to demonstrate the Rishonim who hold that the mitzvah of Minui Dayanim is a pragmatic mitzvah to make sure that there are mizumanim. We have a number of such indications. So when I mentioned the Tosas HaRush, which is in the sugya of Bnei Noach, Hosifu Aleihem, I attributed it to the status of Benoach. But, in fact, the Tosas HaRush is more significant, because on the contrary, what he's trying to explain is the Hosifu Aleihem of Klal Yisrael. That's what is there in the mitzvah of Minui Dayanim in Klal Yisrael beyond what there is in typically for Benoach. So the Gemara says, Lahoshiv Bate Dayanim Bechol Pelech U'Pelech Ubechal ir v'ir, and it's here where the Tosa Rosh makes the comment, Hai mikri shapir hosifu aleim dinim, ki hosifu sheyu dayanim mizumanim l'kol mevakshe din. Ve'en kan tosefes bedinim, ki lo nitosef din chadash, ve'gam tosefes dayanim ein kan, ki lo nitosef ribui dayanim l'shum din. So basically, that's a good line to again highlight this idea that the chiddush of kol pelech u'pelech kol ir v'ir of mitzvahs dayanim or minu dayanim is in the mizumanim aspect of it. But just to make it clear, as I said the other day, that in itself is oh wow, how are you? Welcome. I won't put you on the list, though. Okay. Used to control the list. Now. So that in itself is significant because, as I said, the things that you are extra careful, you know, from an efficiency standpoint about, are also is also an indication of values. In other words, you don't want a chance. Everything I said the other day, but that works for the Tosa Rosh. The other point, just very quickly, is that on the status of Shotrim, does Shotrim work for the Shoftim, or are Shotrim an independent, agency that are maybe parallel, and a common denominator with what the shoftim is, but then that expands the whole shoftim vishotrim. So we discussed the view of the Rambam and so on, and we mentioned that Rashi Al Torah makes it clear that the shoftim are under the jurisdiction of the shoftim. So just to point out that Rashi on Tezayin Omid Beis also seems to say that. That's always good when things line up. They don't always line up so well, but sometimes, often, usually they do. Shotrim golerium chovtim b'makolos al pi hashoftim l'kol mi she'ena shomea. So again, this is this Rashi is consistent. This is the idea that the shotrim are part of the whole system, but the system of the shoftim. So that just want to point out, and then we were discussing various perspectives. I just want to add, just for emphasis one more time, the idea that perhaps Shoftim v'Shotrim is about the presence of Mishpat in the form of the ambassadors, who personify, and exemplify these ideals, right? Elohim, Elohim. So that's something that we noted already. There are echoes of, and certainly Sefer HaChinuch in the Shoresh HaMitzvah seems to be going in this direction. Although again, the Chinuch starts off by citing the Rambam, and the Rambam certainly is also emphasizing the negative aspect. I was suggesting for two reasons, both in its own right, because the deterrent of Mishpat, having an atmosphere in which people understand that violating halacha is an extremely serious matter, and there are consequences to be paid. Both the principle that this is not something that you just choose to do, but something which is a system, we consider it to be a privilege, but that doesn't mean that we can opt out. And B, just the impact itself of having that deterrent and that encouragement, so that it increases adherence and shmiras hamitzvah. So I just wanted to also point out that the Rambam in Perek Gimel, but the Rambam has echoes of this also in a positive way, as we noted, when he talks about the structure of Shoftim v'Shotrim, then he speaks about the network component. And here and there, as we'll discuss throughout the year, there are strong echoes that the Rambam thinks that this isn't all just negative, but that on the contrary, the presence of such people and what they represent is significant as well. Certainly we'll see this when we talk about who is supposed to be a member of a Beis Din, who is supposed to be a member of a Sanhedrin, that's what those qualifications are. We'll note then that some of these qualifications are not just about functionality. It's not just about implementing Din efficiently or even competently or even ideally, but it does seem to be that the persona of the Dayan, of the Shofet, is an important aspect as well. So in Perek Gimel, Hilchos Sanhedrin, Halach HaZayin, it's just interesting to note that the Rambam quotes the Divrei Chazal that Kol Bezin Shel Yisrael Shehu Hagun Shechina Imahem Lepikach Tzrichin HaDayanim Leishev Be'ema V'Yira V'Atifa V'Koved Rosh V'Asa L'Hakel Rosh O'L'Eschok So this is again one of the examples of many where again this has nothing to do even with the integrity of their functioning according to Dinei Torah. This has to do with the Chalos Bezdin and the Gavra Dayanim, and we're saying that they have to sit there Be'ema V'Yira V'Atifa the COVID Rosh, and so on and so forth, and not even Sicha Patela. But again, it's also interesting how it starts, Kol Bezin Shel Yisrael, Shehu Hagun, right, if it's made up of the right people, Shechina Imayim. So this works nicely with the, again, the Gemara in Brachos, that Baba Min Aleph, which had the Hava Mina that, like, what's the Chiddush? And the answer is, Ma'u Deseima, Shalma Bialma, Kamash Malan, Torahi. But it's interesting because we have the other Gemara, and Abzayin Amid Aleph, where the Gemara, this is what they all the Nosa Kalim, when they're talking about this Rambam, they all point to the Gemara in Zayin Amid Aleph, which says, Amar Ab Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Ab Yonasan, Kol Dayan Shadon Din Emes La Mito Mashra Shechina B'Yisrael, Shenemar Elokim Nitzav Vadas Keel Bekerev Elokim Yishpot. The Tarti Mashma, I'm repeating for the Radvaz right now. So if this indeed were the Makar, then the Rambam would have been guilty of omitting an important ingredient. As that Gemara says, that Kol Dayan Shadon Din Emes Lamito Mashra Shechina B'Yisrael. This Rambam doesn't refer at all to the outcome, and frankly, he's not even referring to the Dayan, right? He's talking about the Beis Din and simply the fact that it's Hagun, right? And on the contrary, he integrates this with the rest of what he says, which is all about the conduct of the Dayanim in the framework or context of being in the Beis Din. So I think, again, this is just an echo, one of the echoes, where the Rambam is telling us that, again, beyond efficiency and beyond even the deterrent component that he himself projects so centrally and was responsible, therefore, for influencing the Chinuch, to spread this, perspective, that beyond all of that, there is, of course, the, that's the Sur Meirah part, but the Aseh Tov part, if you will, is the inspiration and the aspiration of embodying the Midos of Elohim Elohim, of the Shechina, and that's just the presence of such a Beis Din and its conduct, nothing to do with Emes and Amita Shel Torah. Maybe this is, again, inspired by the rejection of the Hava Mina and by the language of the Gemara in Brachos. Remember that, look, Gemara in Brachos isn't just talking about a Beis Din, it's also talking about, a Chavrusa that sits to learn, and so on and so forth. So, Eli, yeah.
Rebbe think that all those qualifications designed for the Dayanim, that they be Behemoth, Yira, Tichas, and Kovid Rosh, Rebbe thinks that that's part of their job to be that way?
What I'm saying is, I guess only if you assume that their job is more than their job. Meaning, you know, that embodying certain midos is part of what it means to be a dayan and part of what it means to have a bezin in your community.
The Rebbe doesn't think that's just because of the Shekhinah that's there?
I think it's the reason that the Shekhinah is there, and also the consequence of the Shekhinah being there. What I'm saying is that it's both. And we'll try to show as we go forward that, you know, the qualifications for being a dayan reflect that as well. But I think both of these come together.
The Rambam, he says Lefikach. It sounds like it's only because the Shekhinah is there.
Or Lefikach, for the very reason that they generate the Shekhinah, you know, they have to be conducting themselves in this way. I don't think it's one or the other. I think that's the convergence of these two ideas. Lefikach, because they, you know, not just because when they're done den emes lamito, but because their very presence of a bezin hagun is the presence of the Shekhinah, therefore to be that, not just the consequence of that, but to be, since that is what a bezin is supposed to be, therefore, consistent with that, the common denominator of that is the way that they conduct themselves. I think that's the more neutral, more ambitious reading of what the Rambam is saying. Yeah.
Yeah, I think picking up what Ellie's talking about, like there's striking parallels between what the Rambam is saying here and the requirements of Hilchos Tefillah.
And the requirements?
And Hilchos Tefillah.
Okay,
right?
Good.
I mean, so it really does seem like the Gorim.
I don't think that proves anything. I just think, right, because you're doing something which I'm not saying it doesn't also have a consequence. What I'm saying is it brings it, and then, you know, it's the reason it brings it is because this is what a bezdin is. Again, we understand what brings it in the context of tefillah, or brings it in the context of tefillah that you're addressing the Ribono Shel Olam. But here, you know, what is the presence of a bezdin hagun per se without even being done? There's no avoda here. So the fact that it has the parallels, because the parallel is, the Shekhinah is there. But what I'm saying is the Shekhinah is there in this case because of the people who, you know, who embody these values. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it's both cause and effect. It's a convergence of both. I don't think Lefikach in any way detracts from that. I think it contributes to that. Anyways, we'll see more of it as we talk about requirements, and we'll also see that there might be some differences in this between the requirements of being a member of Bezin Shel Gimel and the requirements of being a member of the Sanhedrin, a Sanhedrin, you know, minimum of Chav Gimel. But we'll also see that some of the requirements of being a Dayan are flexible to the possibilities. In other words, a sliding scale of what's out there. And maximizing, and sliding scales always have a kula and a chumra, and that's why they're sliding scales, right? Meaning, the kula is that, you know, you have to do the best you can, and sometimes that allows you, you know, to proceed, you know, when you can't find all of the qualities that you require. Well, we'll discuss when we read the Gemara in the first parak, you know, to compromise, you know, when you need to. But it also has a chumra. And that is that when you're supposed to pursue these qualities, and when they're available, you know, sometimes they may be ma'akev as well. But we'll speak more about it going forward. Anyways, the idea that the Gemara in Shabbos is the basis of this, and the Gemara in Brachos, I think, is very intriguing. Again, the Rambam is certainly extending beyond the Gemara in Sanhedrin that they're quoting or that they're invoking. The idea that in addition to efficiency, in addition to, you know, the truant officers and the deterrent, in addition to the presence of the Shekhinah in the embodied, you know, persona or personification of the Dayanim, that there's another idea here implied by the Rambam's mechanism, if not his explanation in Sefer HaMitzvos, namely the idea of a network of Bate Dinim, is something that I want to elaborate a little bit on. I think Yoshua's name, right? Josh, we call Josh. Okay. So ask me a little bit about it. So I just want to elaborate just on what I mean by that a little bit more in terms of its implication. The idea that there is a network of Bate Dinim, that there is a hierarchy and a system, of course, goes back a little bit to the story of Yisro. That's really what it's based on a little bit. and what it implies, and if we study that parsha well, I think this is also borne out, not mukhrak, but certainly very appealing to explain some of the phenomena, is that Yisro's suggestion to Moshe Rabbeinu, right, was not limited to efficiency. In other words, it was an efficient component. Right, Moshe Rabbeinu was standing all day, and when Klal Yisrael came, Lidrosh Es HaElokim, which Unkla says means Lemitva, Alpha. So he was trying to accommodate them, like an eager young rabbi, should. He wanted to give them, Moshe Rabbeinu was Anav Mikol Adam, but he was also, somebody who knew his own credentials. So he knew that to give the people the best halachic advice and hashkafic advice, Lemitva Ulfa, Lidrosh Es HaElokim. Fascinating. That's Lidrosh Es HaElokim, is asking shilas and getting this kind of advice. He knew that to give them the most accurate response, would be for him to answer the questions himself. And that's what he did. And then his father-in-law kind of, put his arm around his shoulder, and that's not explicit in the psukim, that's very implicit. And he said to him, listen, Moshe Rabbeinu, this isn't good for you, certainly, but, certainly the way I read the parsha, it's not good for Klal Yisrael either. Right, it's not good for you, because all this, 24-7 stuff, can only last so long. It can create burnout, and you can lose your patience, which Moshe Rabbeinu does in the end. And in the end, when he's ready for Espali Shivim Mish, right, he's already asking, how can anybody lead these people? And that's already having implemented Yisro's strategy. Klal Yisrael can be difficult. New York Times pointed that out yesterday, but we don't need the New York Times for that. It can be a tough job. And if you take it all upon yourself, Lemitva Alpha, as sincere and idealistic as that is, it's not going to be good for you. You, that resource for Klal Yisrael that is indispensable, are going to be damaged in the process. It's not doable, and it's not desirable from a resource point of view for you. But more than that, in addition to burnout and cynicism or bitterness that can creep in, or loss of perspective, which is what happens, in a way, a loss of emuna, right? Yan asher lo hemantim bi, later on. In addition to that, it's just not good for Klal Yisrael. It's not good for Klal Yisrael to be totally reliant on a single individual, even if that individual is Moshe Rabbeinu, even beyond the burnout question. It's not good for Klal Yisrael. Again, the Gemara in Temura, which I like to quote, tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu died, there was a crisis. A part of that crisis was due to the inevitable, almost exclusive reliance upon Moshe Rabbeinu, which was appropriate at the time, but creates again. We have that in other situations in history too. And when great men leave the scene, if there hasn't been some sort of foresight, to kind of pave the way, by broadening, their responsibility, and building up other voices and forces within that Mesorah, hopefully. Then there can be tremendous crises. Sometimes those crises can be calamitous crises. Right? You have Hasidic movements, who took strange turns because, they couldn't replace, their charismatic leaders. That's a very dangerous, thing. But in addition to that, namely not being too reliant on one individual because he's still human, and A, he has, his limitations, B, he has his mortality, it's more than that. It's the idea that, as great as any one individual is, there are legitimately other voices in Klal Yisrael. Kabbalah Satorah, included 600,000, males of certain age. Again, I always like to quote the Yamsu Shlomo, who in his Akdama de Bava Kama, says that every member of Klal Yisrael, every one of the 600,000, received the Torah slightly differently. Obviously, enough the same that it was Mishpat Echad Yehi Lachem, You know, so we could still justify the killing of the Zaki Mamre, who threatens that. But the point is that the nuances, it created the foundation for Eilu Veilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. It's important to have different perspectives and different dimensions as part of the process. It's unhealthy to have a single Mor Da'asra for all of Klal Yisrael, even if you're not just worried about the future or, you know, his burnout or his mortality, etc. It's important that there be other kochot, that there be other forces as involved as well. Moreover, in addition to that, you know, addition of perspective and talent and so on, it's also important that there be a hierarchy. Some questions, it's important to know that there are Dvarim Chashuvim and Dvarim Gedolim, to use again the Parsha of Yisro, and there are, you know, other issues. Every issue is important, you know. Enata Yodea Matan Scharan Shel Mitzvos, as we know. So we should treat every, you know, mitzvah and every drabanan and every siag with the utmost respect that it deserves. That's what Chazal tell us. You know, asu mishmeres l'mishmarti, and as I say, you know, ekev asher, you know, tishmuun, the mitzvos that we trample upon, they need to be protected and projected in terms of their importance as well. But knowing that even, you know, the kalos, you know, require, A, it's not so difficult, it's not so easy to figure out what's what, and B, even when we can figure out what are kalin and what are chamurin, that we have to give immense reverence even to the kalin, that's different than saying that there's no hierarchy. It's important to know that there are dvarim gedolim v'chashuvim, and that there are other kinds of shilas, and that not everyone, you know, should be addressed, you know, to the Mor Da'asra of Klal Yisrael, to a Moshe Rabbeinu. It's important to know that other questions are probably more appropriately asked to other people. It's good for the perspective of Klal Yisrael to know that there are a range of questions. It's important that there be something called, this is a big issue that people speak about today, but mostly inaccurately, a local psak, or the psak of a local Mor Da'asra, who has, you know, more time, you know, to focus on, you know, individuals and their backgrounds and following through with them, and possibly a better understanding, you know, of the dynamics of their life, because he sees them day in and day out, assuming that we're talking about a sufficient competence, local psak, and you know, knowing that there's a hierarchy in questions, and therefore at authorities to present these questions to, is very important. It's not, you know, healthy, and it's probably not even objectively good to ask every question, you know, to the Rav and to Rav Moshe Feinstein or Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, you know, or whoever the, you know, the great Talmidei Chachamim are. It's important, equally, more important to know that the Dvarim HaChashuvim and the Dvarim HaGedolim, that they have to come to these people. So the idea that there is a network, you know, which has its apex, the Nasi of the, you know, Sanhedrin HaGadol, which according to Balei Tosfos, we'll discuss this more fully, Echad Memuna Aleihem, in the Gemara in Daf Tezayin Amud Beis, which we're going to discuss some more in a minute. So Rashi says that refers to Sanhedrin Agdola, and the Balei Tosfos say no, it refers to the Nasi of the Beis Din. Both of those are important, you know, perspectives. It's important to know in every generation who is the Echad HaMemuna, both in it structurally and also personally. You know, who is that Moshe Rabbeinu, Kivyachol, I guess, of that generation, you know, with all the uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu. But at the same time, it's important for all these reasons that there be a Bezdin, that there be a Nasi of the Bezdin, Echad Memuna Aleihem, that there be a Bezdin HaGadol, Echad Memuna Aleihem, according to Rashi, that there then be other, you know, Batei Dinim that are sitting in the Lishkas HaGazis, and that from there there's a far-flung network of Batei Dinim, you know, that are spread throughout not only Eretz Yisrael, but, you know, Sanhedrin Oheges Ba'aretz U'Bechutz La'aretz, like the Mishnah says in Makos, and we'll be discussing, you know, hopefully on Tuesday, And therefore, it's a far-flung network throughout the Jewish world. But it's also important to know that that network doesn't apply unless you have part of the network, at least, the critical parts of the network don't apply unless you have Sanhedrin HaGadol sitting in the Lishus HaGazis. So it's a dialectic. When you have the proper pieces in place and you know who the proper people are and what the Dvarim HaGadolim and Chashuvim are, so then it's not a concession. It is in one respect, but in the bigger picture, you know, it's part of building up. It's like, you know, there's the minor leagues, you know, which, in every, kind of discipline, including the sporting world, you know, serves a critical function in terms of that's where people get trained and that's where they, become worthy of going to the next level. They need to have, the experience, they need to have the training. It's also important to know that there's the minor leagues and then there are the major leagues. And, you know, there are, you know, they're different chaloses even, right? No? Right? Or we're just in the football thing. All sports, yeah. Okay, so it's important to know all of that. It's important to have the network both to protect the higher rungs, but also to develop the talent and to give greater opportunity, right, for a better psak in some respect, local, psak, as I say, more personal psak, and that's how the system better develops, and that's how relationships and psak halacha, better develops. At least that's my reading of Parshas Yisro, and that's my reading of this other idea that shoftim v'shotrim titen l'cha b'chol sha'arecha, Lishvatecha, the idea of having, this network, with its hierarchy, but also with its far-flung connections, all in the right structure, is not just a pragmatic, but is also an idealistic component, both to increase the effectiveness of the top rungs, as well as to build up and for the important idealistic role that the lower rungs play in addition. So I think that is the notion of the network idea, and this too is reflected in numerous issues. We'll see in a moment the Ramban's idea of a Bezen HaShevet is a great example of this. The idea of Echod Memuna al Kulam, again, whether it refers to Sanhedrin HaGadol or to the Nasi, that's just kind of put out there on Tezayinim and Beis, isn't just a fact, but again, it's a kind of a sensibility as well. What's machshir all of the rungs and makes them idealistic for the things that they're supposed to accomplish is the awareness of the hierarchy of Echod Memuna al Kulam. Oh, so having said that, let's move to our next nafkamina. We talked about shoftim and shotrim, and having one and not the other under different conditions. We already spoke about a couple of nafkamina. So now I want to speak about Bez and Shogimel, but first we'll take the question. Yeah. What's the name again?
Yair. If I'm not mistaken, I think the halacha is that either one of the bodies is allowed to be kofei, the other to go to a higher level beit.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. Halach,
so
excellent.
It's undermine this idea of going to the right beit for the right size issues.
Right. Well, again, first of all, we're usually speaking about... first of all, that's very good. I was going to mention that in an expanded discussion of the networks, but I'm glad you brought it up. Halach Achar Bezdin Yafeh. So this is mostly a third and fourth parak topic, which I hope we'll be able to discuss. It's not so simple, right? What if you have... Is that only if you have two batei dinim, Ravasi, and is it only if you have two batei dinim in the same city? Can you really force the other baldavar, to travel in order to go to a superior bez? Right, that's the question. So the nuances involved in halach achar bez din yafeh, on the one hand, halach achar bez din yafeh seems like a no-brainer, right? The more qualified bez. Let's also note that the bez din yafeh that we're speaking about. In that halacha is not on a different rung. You're not talking about Bezin Shalayin Aleph as opposed to Bezin Shel Chaf Gimel. Or we're not talking about Bezin Shel Chaf Gimel instead of Bezin Shel Gimel, right? When we talk about the structure of the system, there are really two things that we're talking about. One is the clear qualitative rungs, right? The, you know, the Ayin Aleph Chaf Gimel, you know, Gimel, structures, configurations. But we're then, in addition to that, we're also talking about the quality of the Dayanim, and you'll see, there was this system of going through the ranks where, both in terms of involvement in Maso Matan as Talmidim, and also which Bezdin you served, there were talent scouts, out there who were identifying, who's Roy Lekach, and so on. So, number one, we're talking about in the same rung, generally speaking. And number two, there really is a big issue in the Rishonim, but I just don't want to get into it right now, but we will make sure that we do. I'll make you responsible for that. Right? Shai will tell you that can have, consequences. Kfiya, did they both have to agree? What if one is willing to pay the expenses of the other, time lost in work, etc.? What we'll see is both of these elements, that on the one hand, if you can get to a better, Bezdin, all things being equal, or somebody is makbid for that, then, especially if there's a kpeda, then that's certainly a value. We all understand that. At the same time, the idea that, there are rights to limit and to, be strict about, Bezdin Shebe'ircha, that comes across, as well. So it goes on the list. It's definitely an issue that, is about this topic, but it's a little more complicated in terms of the dinim, and I hope we'll talk about it. Yeah.
The Me'iri seems to suggest that if one of the Batitin says, let's go to the Bezin HaGadol in Yerushalayim, then they can force...
Well, again, that might be also... Remember that the Bezin HaGadol Yerushalayim also serves an additional function. And according to the Ramban, which we'll read inside in a couple of minutes, so does the Bezin HaGadol Shel HaShevet. And that is that, the Bezin HaGadol, in addition to being, the highest rank of Bezdin in terms of the quality of its participants, and of course, in addition to the fact that it's additional, that it's a totally different configuration, but in addition to that, it is also the Supreme Court, of Klal Yisrael, in the sense that it is the, it's the Bezdin that hears appeals. So when you have a deadlock, in the system, Bezin HaGadol is an appeal place, and it's also has a legislative function, and it has this appeal judicial function. So that is part of that story, but that's not the Balei Dinim. That's when the Batei Dinim.
Right. That's why I would distinguish.
So we'll get to that. We'll try to do to discuss it. But this is all part of the bigger topic. So let's talk about Bezin Shel Gimel for the moment. So. When we speak about the mitzvah minui dayanim, so does it include the Bezin Shel Ayin Aleph, the highest of the rank, right? Or is it basically addressing itself to the Bezin Shel Ayin Aleph, which is supposed to choose, the rest of the system? That in itself would be very fascinating, and would establish that the pecking order and the almost like the bilus of Bezin Shel Ayin Aleph, over the rest of the system. It's an interesting idea. Or no, it's just the highest rung, but it too is, not in control of, or it's only in control of to the extent that the system allows it. So that in itself is one question. That's an interesting question which we're going to get to in a moment. Who is Memane, and is Sanhedrin, Bezin HaGadol, are they one of the Nimnim, or Dafka the Monim, or are they both? And if so, how does that work? That's one question. The other question is the lowest rung, and that is Bezdin Shel Gimel. Are they included in the mitzvah of Minui Dayanim or not? And of course, this in a way highlights a bigger question about the Bezdin Shel Ayin Aleph, the Batei Dinim of Chaf Gimel, the various ones, and the Bezdin Shel Gimel. And that is the hierarchy mostly a quantitative one? you know, you have more qualified dayanim, you know, more impressive chachmei masora, maybe people who can, you know, also innovate, you know, not just, you know, apply, you know, whose honed instinct is such, you know, that, you know, they're the walking Sifrei Torah, whatever it is. Is it just about that? That too can be qualitative difference, but is it a, you know, a more impressive and therefore more competent and a more powerful Beis Din? Or are we dealing with different structures that work differently completely? I mentioned a second ago that Beis Din Shelayin Aleph really wears numerous hats, right? As the Rambam says in the beginning of, you know, Hilchos Mamrim, Rabbi still love to quote this. You know, the Rambam speaks about, you know, Beis Din serving the function. Beis Din Hagadol Shel Yerushalayim, right? Heim Ikar Torah Shebal Peh. This is Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. We go to Smamrim. Heim Ikar Torah Shebal Peh. Heim Amudei Ha'Hora'a. Umehem Chok Mishpat Yotzei L'Kol Yisrael. Balein Ibticha Torah Shenemar Al Pi HaTorah Shor Yerucha Zimitzis Haseh. V'chol Amamin B'Moshe Arbeinu V'Taraso Chayiv Lismoch Maisa Hadas Aleim V'Lisha'en Aleim. And Kol Lisha'en Osa Kol Rasa Over below Saseh Shenemar Lo Sasur. The Rambam has a particularly wide scope in his understanding of Lo Sasur, which we'll get back to. In any case, the Rambam's description of Beis Din Hagadol Shel Yerushalayim is that they're Ikar Torah Shebal Peh. That's not a judicial function at all. They are the Chachmei HaMesora, right, who embody, you know, the transmission of the Mesora. That's an amazing thing. The Heim Amudei HaHora, right, they're also the ones who are most qualified and therefore play a special role in applying or executing, you know, Din Torah. Umehem Chok Mishpat Yotzei L'Kol Yisrael. You know, they have a legislative function as well. The, you know, the checks and balances, you know, are not so evident when it comes to the triple impact of Beis Din Hagadol. We're just going to discuss in a couple of minutes, so I'll mention it right now, that there's a fourth component, conceivably, of Beis Din Hagadol. And that is that sometimes Beis Din Hagadol constitute the duly representation, the duly appointed representatives of Klal Yisrael, or the interests of Klal Yisrael. Sometimes when there's a mitzvah tzibur, or a mitzvah tziburit, sometimes it's implemented by the melech, sometimes it's implemented by Rov Yisrael, depending on what it is, and sometimes it seems like it's in the hands of Beis Din Hagadol. So that's already four functions, at least, of Beis Din Hagadol, right? Amud Hora'a, Ikar Torah Shebal Peh, Misham Chok Mishpat Yotzei L'Kol Yisrael, and the Tzigus, let's say, of Klal Yisrael as well. And you wonder, are these four, or at least the three that the Rambam speaks about, are they completely distinct? Three different dinim have nothing to do with each other, although all residing in the hands of, you know, the most qualified, you know, chachamim, you know, of the generation. That would be a personal, that would be a perfectly reasonable idea, that these are totally separate institutions, but, you know, the, it's not a coincidence that these are the qualified people for all three. Or is it, you know, dafka, a convergence? You know, the their function as Ikar Torah Shebal Peh and Amudei Hora'a and Mehem Chok Mishpat Yotzei L'Kol Yisrael. And I would add, even the Netzigos of Kol Yisrael part are not just because of the common denominator of their competence, but maybe there really is a convergence. Something to look at and to think about. Anyways, that's with regard to the highest function. With regard to Beis Din Shel Gimel and its relationship to Sanhedrin of Chof Gimel, a similar question needs to be asked. Namely, are they really part of the network? That's the bigger question. Or I should say bigger. That's one question. Is their relationship to Sanhedrin of Shel Chof Gimel just a quantitative difference. In other words, there are three instead of 23 because the matters that they're dealing with are relatively more minor, mostly, let's say, dine mamunis, although some of those things are very consequential as well, as opposed to dine nefashos and dine knossos and malchus. You know, we'll discuss whether malchus always requires chav gimel, but the question is, Bezin Shel Godel is a totally different kind of birya, or no, it's less. What are the qualifications for the Gavra Dayanim? I alluded to that before. You know, just less than, because they're the lower rank, you know, but basically in the same direction, right? When the Rambam speaks about Shechina, you know, being present, Lefikach, he's talking about Bezin Shel Gimel as well, right? So what really is the relationship between Gimel and Chav Gimel? Basically one of hierarchy, or is the hierarchy end up being totally qualitative? Maybe Din even works differently. Last year I made allusion to an issue, for those who were here, an issue that we'll talk about more this year, and that is the idea that, you know, when we talk about Hora'a or Din Torah, to what extent are we dealing with, you know, what I would call a Beis Medrash type issue? In other words, somebody comes to you, they have a very practical question, you know, their lives depend on it, you know, it's a you know, the chicken is standing in front of you, or the, you know, sichsuch, you know, between them, which is more serious than the chicken. To what extent are you being mora hora, you know, as an iser v'heter, or as a bezdin shel gimel, or as a bezdin shel chaf gimel, or as a bezdin shel ayin aleph, on that particular case? Or are you really, you know, basically, you know, closeting yourself in some abstract sense, you know, in Habayis Dabai Varava, figuring out what the halacha should be, and then just, you know, applying it. So it's the, you know, practical application of your academic psak. To what extent is the psak, or the hora, more fundamentally academic and universal, you know, and then just being applied? Or is it about this particular case? Okay, that's an interesting question. Not a simple question. Is there a difference in that question between Bezdin and Dine Mamanis? And is there a difference between Isser V'Heter and a Hora of a Bezdin? Is there a difference between Bezdin Shel Gimel and Bezdin Shel Chaf Gimel? Is there a difference between Bezdin Shel Chaf Gimel and Bezdin Shel Ayin Aleph? Right? What I'm trying to highlight is that is it only the types of cases that you're rendering Piskei Halacha on because of your level that distinguish these, or are there important qualitative differences about how we know that, you know, Bezin Shel Chaf Gimel requires a Lechova majority of two, you know, not Bezin Shel Gimel. That could just be because of the stakes that are involved, and it's part of the quantitative hierarchy. Or, once again, does a different Tagdara, let's say of Rov Lechova, reflect either on the issue that I just mentioned or some other issue, the way that, you know, that the mechanism or the apparatus operates? These are questions to ask throughout these issues and throughout Masechet Sanhedrin. So when we come to ask the question, you know, Shoftim v'shotrim titan l'v'chol b'chol sharecha, whether Bezin Shel Gimel is included or not, these are part of the questions that we're asking. Certainly, we know just factually that in addition to the, you know, qualifications for Dayan and some of the other issues we're talking about, what about a ger, other things that distinguish Bezin Shel Mamon and Sanhedrin. In addition to that, we know that Sanhedrin Shel Chaf Gimel, right, requires the presence of a Bezin HaGadol in Lishchas HaGazes. Without that, the whole network, that's one of the great proofs that we're dealing with a network. You can't have a network, you know, if you don't have the apex of the network. It all flows, you know, from there. There's no Bezin Shel Knossos, no Bezin Shel Nefashos, even though Sanhedrin Oheges Ba'aretz Uvachutz La'aretz, right? Nonetheless, without Bezin sitting in Lishchas HaGazes, the whole thing doesn't operate. However, that's not true about Bezin Shel Gimel. So in some respects, the Bezin Shel Gimel is outside the network. That doesn't mean that it's totally outside the network, right? But it might mean that. So in that light, it's just interesting to note that again, in the Mishnah, when we speak about Minui Sanhedros, the Mishnah is very specific. We just don't know what to do with it. What does the Mishnah say here, Yaakov? What's the language of the Mishnah? On Beis Amud Aleph. Einosin.
Sanhedros
l'shvatim LLP bezin shel shivim v'yachad. We just don't know if this covers the mitzvah of minu dayanim or it's only one aspect of it. So clearly we're not, it seems like we're talking about a bezin shel chav gimel, right? Not a bezin shel gimel. Whatever bezin l'sanhedros is. So it's, in light of all this, it's just fascinating to note that Rabbeinu Bechai in his Perush al Torah says that Yaakov,
kind of the Rabban,
that the obligation to set up a bezin shel gimel is only midraban, and who disagrees, or may seemingly disagrees?
Potentially the Ramban.
Why do you say the Ramban?
Potential. I don't know. We had a
diuk. Potential. Oh, okay. You'll tell me your diuk in a moment. Before we get to your diuk, let's talk about somebody who's explicit. Avram. Meiri. What is it? Meiri says it. Talks about it. What? Okay. And who else doesn't say the words Minat Torah? But yeah, the Raman Sefer Mitzvos clearly includes Bezin Shel Gimel, and the Chinuch follows suit in the mitzvah of Minui Dayanim. Right? There is only something to be said about the Rambam. There is something to be in Sefer Mitzvos. It seems like it belongs with everything else. In Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perek Aleph, there's a little diuk to be made, just like we did with Shotrim. Right, the Rambam here in the beginning of Hilchos Shoftim, Mitzvah Aseh Shel Torah Limnos Shoftim VeShotrim B'chol Medina B'Medina B'chol Pelach U'Pelach Shenemar Shoftim Shotrim Titan L'chol B'chol Shorecha. Right, and then he tells you what Shoftim and Shotrim are, and then he says in Halacha Gimel, Kama Bate Dinim Kvunim Kvuim Yiu B'Yisrael, the Kama Yia Minyanon, right? Kovim B'Tchila Bezna Gadol B'Mikdash, V'Huah Nikra Sanhedrin Gadola, Minyanim Shivim Yachad, Shnemar Esfali Shivim Ish, Mizikne Yisrael Moshe Al Gabeim, Shnemar Yisyatzvu Sham Imach, Hare Shivim Yachad. Hagadol shebekulan, bechachma shebekulan, moshivin also rosh aleim, hu rosh yeshiva, hu shakorin also chachamim nasi b'chol makom, hu omei tachas moshe rabbeinu. I believe this is not just again descriptive, but this is the Rambam's way of, you know, outlining what we talked about before in terms of the network. Umoshivin hagadol shebeshivim, mishna l'rosh, v'yoshev mimino, hu nikra abezdin, v'shar shivim yoshev l'fanav, kifi Shnehem Ukefi Malasam, again the hierarchy. Kola Gadol Michaver Michachma, Yakarv Lanasi, Mismolo Yosef Michavero, Hey Myoshvim, right, even the way that they sit is preordained, right? Because this is a very, I wouldn't say regimented, because you know it's flexible for talented people to rise through the system, and it's intended to educate them and give them the experience and so on and so forth. And I'd say I don't think it's Bidyevit, I think it's all the Chatchila, but it's very hierarchical. Hey Myoshvin Bikmochatzi Goren, Bi Eagle, Kadeshia Hanasi, Ima Bezdin, Roin Kulam. You're not supposed to forget, you know, notwithstanding the anivus of Moshe Rabbeinu, but what the hierarchy is. People are supposed to understand it and embrace it. Which is based on our Mishnah, right? Sanhedrin Katana. Yosheves Bishar Ha'ir. Yosheves Bishar Ha'ir is an important idea too. Again, why do we care where they sit? Because there are certain presence, both in the deterrent sense and in the inspirational sense. Shenemar, right? Behitzigo Bishar Hamishpat. The Kamiya Minyanam. Esr Mishosha Dayanim. Agal Bechach Mashibikulin Rosh Aleim. Hashar Yoshin Be'igol. Again, with all the, you know, humility and democracy. And spreading out the involvement, which I think is a very lechatchila critical thing, but the hierarchy remains important. Then in Halacha Daled, the Rambam says, "Ir she'ein ba mea liyestrim," based on the Mishnah, "ma'midim ba shlosha dayanim she'ein bezin pachas mishlosha k'nei she'ben rov u'miut imhoisu b'nei machlokas b'nim mina dayanim." So, the question is, by putting the din of bezin shel gimel in Halacha Daled, right? Is the Rambam just, you know, following through on the hierarchy? And, you know, that's just the, just, you know, the Zayin Aleph, there are the three, there are the two other Batei Dinim of Chaf Gimel, you know, then you have the, you know, Batei Dinim of Chaf Gimel, and then you have Bezen Shel Gimel, which is the way it sounds in Sefer Mitzvos. Or is the Rambam trying to tell us that there is a qualitative difference, you know, between them? What's also interesting is that in Perek Hey, Hilchos Sanhedrin Halacha Aleph, the Rambam omits, he revisits this theme, and we'll talk about the difference, but here he omits Bezen Shel Gimel, right? Eim Amidim, Melech Alapi Bezen Shel Shem V'Yachad, Enos and Sanhedrin Katana, L'kol Shevet V'Shevet, L'kol Ir V'Ir Alapi Bezen Shel Shem V'Yachad. So it could be, because here the Rambam, Perek Hey Halach Aleph is about the appointment role of Bezdin Hagadol. So one thing seems to emerge, and that is that Bezdin Hagadol is not appointing the Bezdin Shel Gimel, you know, in the small towns. Is that all that we're to infer from here? Or that, because that is so, that the appointment of Batei Dinim, of Chaf Gimel, is a different din than Bezdin Shel Gimel? That's the question. Noach had a comment?
Yeah, just as far as Chaf Gimel is concerned, the Frankel does break up Chaf Gimel into five different halachos.
What do you mean, five different halachos?
They have one halacha on Bezdin Hagadol, then one halacha on Gadol Chashuv Kulan, then one on...
What do you mean, different halachos? He doesn't count them differently. I mean, he has, like, periods.
Colons.
Oh, okay, interesting. Right. That's also interesting, like, is it all one, or is it all... Yeah. But either way, Halacha Dalad is separate. But I hear. Yeah.
The fact that the Rambam says that you'd only appoint three in places where you couldn't do 23 doesn't immediately tell you anything qualitatively about...
No, I don't think so. No. I mean, that's based on the Mishnah. Right at the end of our Mishnah, which is sort of the end of the Mishnah, yeah, we're starting at the base of an Aleph here, practically. Right? Right. Of course, in the end of the Mishnah tells us that. Again, we'll read through the whole Mishnah in the next couple of days because there's hierarchy in the Mishnah. Basically, what do the different dinim in the Mishnah represent? Minayin the Ketana. Here, the Ram says Sanhedrin Gadol Ha'isa Shel Shivim V'Yachad Ketana Shel Esra M'Shlosha. Right. Minayin the Gadol Shel Shivim V'Yachad Esra L'Shivim Ish Muzikne Yisrael Moshe Al Gameim. Rabbi Yudah Omer Shivim Uminayim Liktana Shishal Esra V'Shlosha Rav Shafto Eda V'Tzilo Eda Eda Shofetas Eda Matzela Sarei Kan Esrim. Right, Uminayim Le'Eda Shehi Asara Ad Masai Le'Eda Hara Hazos Yatsu Yoshua V'Kalev Minayim Lahavi Od Gimel Mash Mishnema Lo Tiach Rab L'Ros Shemea She'eya Imayim L'Tova En Kenam Nemer Ach Rab L'Hatos Lo Kataya Secha L'Tova I was asking before whether that's quantitative just because of what's at stake, it's an extra measure of protection, or whether it's more than that. Then the Mishnah says, Ein bezen shakom osifin alei mod echad, harekan esrim mishlosha. Then, kama yehe be'ir utei ruyim sanhedrin, nea be'esrim, rabbechem yomer masayim mishloshim, keneged sari asara. So that's how we know that less than that amount doesn't get a Bezdin Shel Chaf Gimel, but of course absent from the Mishnah completely is Bezdin Shel Gimel. Anyways, Rabbeinu Bechai, just give me one more second and I'll take the rest of the questions, does jump in and say that appointment of a Bezdin Shel Gimel in a city which has a less this lesser population is only a Din Drabanan. However, he says so, you know, for a particular reason, which I think is also controversial, but kind of lessens a little bit the significance of this application. Well, what is that nibuk, Isaac? The Rabbeinu Bechai. Why does he think that the appointment of Bezdin Shel Gimel is not part of the Doraisa of Minui Dayanim? Shua?
Because he thinks that
Yeah, which is of course a topic that we'll discuss at length. Can one dayan get away with paskening in dine mamnas? Right? So Rabbi Akiva seems to say yes. So Rabbeinu B'chai says, listen, Doraisa, you don't need three Dayanim. So obviously, Minu, Gimel Dayanim, you have a line in the Rabbeinu B'chai? I have enough time. I have to still have one here. Right, and then he goes on and explains Bezin shall esrim v'shol shayim min haTorah heim nikraim sanhedrin katana. Then Bezin shall shivim v'yam. I'm skipping a lot. V'yachad heim min haTorah heim nikraim sanhedrin gadola. But the point is that for him Bezin shall gimel is only a din drabanan, and therefore it's minu. He's only a din drabanan. Fine. Why do I say it's not so simple, Shua? This is, you know, if you know, it's not obviously anything I told you.
It's not so simple to paskin like a rock bridge.
Number one, it's not so simple to paskin that way. Number two, even if you do paskin that Yachid, who's done in Dine Mamanis, that Dino Din, that doesn't mean that Bezin Shel Gimel is Rabbana. Because, I'll let out the secret right now, but you know, one might think that there are two completely different tracks or methods or modes of paskening in Dine Mamanis. One is through a kind of a Ra, you know, by Echad, and one through a Chepta Shel Bezdin. When we get to the Rambam, that's basically what we're going to, you know, see that the Rambam really holds. And that is that, you know, there can be a Hora Bezdin, there can be a Hora in Dine Mamanis, but that's not the same as a Psak of a Bezdin Shel Gimel. So Bezdin Shel Gimel could be Doraisa, even if you paskin like Rabbi Chabrei Rabika. The Rabbeinu B'chai doesn't hold that way, and therefore he's pushed into the conclusion, which anyways happens to fit in nicely with the Mishnah, and it happens to work very nicely even if you had not held that reasoning. If you held that the Shoftim Shotrim Tita Nechav B'chol Sharak, the Minu Dayanim is a din in setting up a network for all the reasons that we discussed earlier, then you might say, well, you know what, the Bezin Shel Gimel is outside the network, right? It's not that it's the Drabana, but it doesn't depend on Bezin HaGadol sitting in the Lishos HaGazis. And therefore, you know, instead of saying, oh, it's the most ubiquitous, you know, hardiest, you know, of the network, right? No, that's not the idea. The idea is it's outside the network. Dine Mamanis isn't in the network. The mitzvah is to know the hierarchy, to set up the hierarchy, you know, both to have the fullness and the benefit of the hierarchy, and also to understand the limits and to know the significance of the hierarchy. But you don't get that in Bezin Shel Gimel. That's not what he says. I'm just saying, since if you look at the objective evidence, right, the idea that Bezin Shel Gimel may not be included in the mitzvah of Minui Dayanim, you know, is reasonable. You might, if you didn't agree with Rabbeinu B'chai's view about Bezin Shel Gimel being Durabanan, which I think is very difficult position, frankly, and a very unappealing position too, although it's important to have that in the range. The other explanation you might give for this phenomenon is the one that we're suggesting. On the other hand, the Meiri says explicitly that it's included in the mitzvah of Minui Dayanim. I missed that. Who has language? Who quoted the Meiri before? Avram? What's his language? Stronger than the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvahs, or? So it makes it sound equal. Certainly that would have been our impression for the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvahs too, but I am just pointing out that, you know, it's a little late to the party in Halacha Dalet, in Perek Aleph Halacha Dalet, although maybe for good reason. And that in Parakeh, Halacha Aleph, it certainly sounds like Sanhedrin Agadol is not involved in that particular point. Eli. Yeah.
I thought what Rabbi was saying in Mishnah Torah kind of sounds like in Sefer Mitzvot also.
Okay.
Because as opposed to Mishnah Torah, actually, the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvot introduces first the Sanhedrin Katana, then the Sanhedrin Gedolah, and then only then the Beis Din Shel Shalom.
Uh-huh.
It sounds like either they're not part of like the same system, or the system is not proceeding in a linear fashion.
Right. No. Let me just add this ha'ara too. If you take the view that against Rabbeinu B'chai that the mitzvah does include Bezin Shel Gimel, I still think that there are two things that you could say. One is, you might say, well, because that's part of the system. The difference is notwithstanding. You know, as I say, it's the most durable part of the system. The other possibility is to say, because the system isn't the mechayev of the mitzvah. And especially if you take the view that the mitzvah is determined by the deterrent factor or the efficiency factor, it's option number one, let's say, and option number two, then why shouldn't it apply to Bezdin, Shel Gimel? After all, most sichsuchim, strife in the community doesn't require Shel Chav Gimel, thankfully. It requires a Bezdin Shel Gimel. So if the idea is either to prevent arkaus, or because of the insufficiency of Gimel Regalim, to make sure that people know that, if they step out of line, that there are going to be consequences, that there are dayanim just waiting, to earn their salary, to implement the din, then there's very good reason to think that Bezin Shel Gimel should be included in the mitzvah mina dayanim, even if you were to accept the view that they're a little bit outside of the hierarchy. But I hear what you're saying. The order in Sefer Mitzvahs you're pointing out is counterintuitive, and maybe there's something in that. Yeah. Did you have a question?
Maybe
no.
Preference.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Not sure which direction this points, but is the Rambam's characterization in Sefer Mitzvahs important when he says,
why does he? So that I thought was part of his actual acknowledgement of the hierarchy. Right. Why does he need to say that? So I was going to mention that next, but thank you. So again, that I think is as I mentioned, the Rambam uses the expression, midinamit. When he introduces the hierarchy, how does he say? Mitznayamit habitz or something like that, right? So I think this is, this idea that I was trying to express, even if that isn't the Mechayev according to the Rambam, he mentions it prominently, and I think his idea, the idea that the hierarchy has multiple significance, the importance of that and the importance of that, both, is I think reflected by that formulation. So I was going to bring it up, and I'm glad that you did. Okay, so Bezdin Shel Gimel is one issue. And the second issue, of course, is bizman hazeh, or when there are no mumchen, or smuchen. If you take the view that, this is about, order and not chaos, and also, the presence of law, in other words, and the rule of law, and especially also, as we said, the Rambam also is trying to tell us, this isn't a voluntary system. It's a it's a system which you should embrace and which you should see as the raison d'etre of of the world, but that doesn't mean that that you get to choose whether you want to follow it or not. It's a chiyuv, it's a mitzvah. So if all of that is the case, then even if you don't have formal smuchim, any way that you can, as long as it's still some sort of a benefit in reducing strife and in projecting the force of the halacha and law, and also in discouraging the use of non-Jewish batedinim. Again, obviously that itself gets somewhat diluted. Lifneim below lifnei arkaos assumes on an ideal level smuchim. But to the extent that these dinim apply d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, then whatever we have of the batei dinim system, bizman hazeh, should still be included in the mitzvah d'oraisa still, even of shoftim v'shoftim tita l'cha b'chal sharecha. Because it's not the institutions per se, and therefore their d'oraisa status, which is koveya, it's these effects, right, these accomplishments, and some of them, albeit in muted fashion, still apply very significantly, bizman hazeh. And this indeed is the view of Yosef? Adam? Jonathan? Jonah? Isaac? Sefer HaChinuch. So Sefer HaChinuch is very, very very adamant about all of this, right? And Sefer Chinuch always.
Okay, but I had it
in a more efficient way, but. You know, you have language? Okay, go ahead. The Sefer Chinuch always, you know, accommodates us in these kind of matters. Go ahead. Yeah. So the Chinuch is very clear, and I think very Lishitaso too, because again, for him, right, it's the the deterrent factor. Working off of the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvos is very, very critical. You know, there's also the Shorash HaMitzvah, which is the benefit of having people who personify these values, you know, in the community. You know, and that's why I told that all of that applies, albeit in diluted fashion, Bizman Hazeh. And that is the view of the Chinuch. In contrast, Isaac too, whose view? Rambam. Yeah, Nachmanides, right? It's the difference between the Rambam and Rambam. I guess I'll refer you to the Tamar to explain the differences between them. But what's the view of the Ramban?
That the mitzvah of Minu Dayanim is dependent on having Musmachim.
Yeah, Ramban is Perish Al Torah. Says we have it up there, Yakir. Jonathan, you want to read it? Shichusayu Kavdinan, which is another topic which we'll get to very, very soon, I hope. One of our first topics. Yeah. So, again, from a networking point of view, you know, that makes a lot of sense, you know. But it doesn't make so much sense in terms of Avel and so on. Now, is there any indication that the Ramban is a network kind of a Rishon?
A Makom Gorem.
What do you mean a Makom Gorem?
The Din and the Fashad are only Noheg Davka when the Beit HaGadol is sitting in Lishkat.
Well, everybody agrees with that, as we noted before. Right, okay. But that's an objective fact.
To even emphasize if they go.
But what about the Ramban specifically, Adam? Exactly. So that leaves us. That brings us to our next issue: Bezdin Shel Shevet. So Bezdin Shel Shevet is a very intriguing thing. We'll probably have to work a little more on it. But what is the evidence about? Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is it clear that Sefer Chinuch says it's a mitzvah nowadays to appoint judges, or that it's just good advice?
It sounds to me like he thinks that the mitzvah is applies to the Zman Hazeh. That's the way it sounds to me. I would also add, by the way, one other thing about the Sefer HaChinuch, which we'll see, and that is that the Sefer HaChinuch here is Lishitaso, not only about his view in what the mitzvah is, but also in his view, as we'll see a little bit, that some of the institutions that no longer exist, again, there are two perspectives on that too. There's no longer smicha, so there's no longer smicha and it's all over. Or, what we have is kind of an echo, and a continuation on a Drabbanan level of what we had then. That's how radical is the break between, what was and what is. That's a big issue in terms of like modern day smicha, and they're important, nafkamina. Like Bizman Hazeh, we here in Yeshiva Sarbani Yitzchak Chanan, we don't give smicha ish mipi ish mimoshe Rabbeinu anymore, although we'd like to. We believe in the concept very much. But we really only can give what we call netilas rishus, mirabo. It's also very important. But to what extent is netilas rishus mirabo, right, still patterned after smicha? Or is it just something totally different that has nothing to do with anything? So we'll discuss that when we get to Adaf Hey and Vav and Smicha. Classical Smicha is going to be an early topic. That's Gimel and Yadalid. All these are interconnected topics. So I think that there's evidence that the Chinuch, believes that the Drabanans that exist are a Drabanan continuation of the institutions that, alas, do not fully apply. So again, the idea that therefore mitzvahs minu dayanim bizman hazeh would actually apply. I don't think he's just giving you an eitzah tova. I think he's really saying that this is, you know, this is part of the mitzvah. It's the kiyum of the mitzvah itself. Okay, in terms of bezin hashevet, so of course we start off with the psukim. Is there an institution called bezin hashevet, and what does it mean? So, yeah.
Go back to the Ramban for a second.
Which one, Bat Zmicha?
The Ramban we just read.
Yeah.
Why does the Ramban say that Mishpatim or Batel is not as a call Mishpatim or Batel, and not the
Mishpat Tzedek that has the chalos of
Miker.
I think he means
Miker Hedin. You need Munchim for
the Sid Lefneim Lo Lefnei Adyotos. Therefore, Ela Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lefneihem. That's what he's referring to. That's why Lefneihem Lo Lefnei Adyotos says Ela Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lefneihem Lefneihem Lo Lefnei Adyotos. What he's saying is that the ability to implement those mishpatim that require that about which there's an isar or kos, that is batel. I'm not saying that the dinim are batel.
Doesn't it sound like you're saying that there is something kosher in kosher mishpat?
Well, I don't think he's saying that the token of kosher mishpat is kosher, but I think he is saying that the inability to have dayanim smuchim to implement mishpatim is a chisar in mishpatim, in a way. It's a lumdus, I think, and it's a good horror on that. I don't think it's a pragmatic statement. In other words, dine mishpatim are alive and well in doraisa in every respect, according to the Ramban. But the fact that you don't have a doraisa lifneim velo lifnei arkos, lifneim velo lifnei hadyotos, is a chisaron in the system, because the laws, the implementation of the law is not just an execution. It's also spills over into the substance of the law, because the law isn't just efficient. The law is, as we've been saying, is something. And I think that is demonstrated. The Ramban in the beginning of Mishpatim stresses very much the idea based on the Gemara in Gittin and Afei Ches, Afilu Kishidineim, you know, Kidineinu, meaning that's another way of isolating. The Mishpatim are the same. When you go to the first superior court or whatever it is, or the Supreme Court or the New York, it's the same law. So at the end of the day, what's the problem? The answer is the implementation by Dayanim, who have the status of Elohim Elohim, make it different, meaning in the context of what I've been saying all along, and which we'll expand on when we talk about Benoach a little bit more. This is what the Medrash really asks, both on the beginning of Mishpatim, Ela Mishpatim Asher Tassim Lefneihem, Lefneihem Lo Lefnei Arkos. So many of the Midrashim ask, but they're afilu kishidineim kidineinu, what's the difference, right? Or the pasuk that we say in Tehillim, that we say in Tefillah every day, umishpatim bal yada'um haleluka, right? So the chachamim in the Medrash ask, what do you mean umishpatim bal yada'um haleluka? There are many, like, very impressive about the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the Code of Hammurabi, Roman law. They don't actually ask that specifically, but that's really what, like, a very honorable, very idealistic legal system. What do you mean, mishpatim? Oh, you know. So we'll leave that for there. But I think your hara is a very good hara. I understand it that way. Mishpatim clearly is referring to elam mishpatim asher tasim lefneihem lefneihem lo lefnei arkos lefneihem lo lefnei adyotos. What he's saying is, the mishpatim are enhanced as mishpatim by the fact that they are executed by the ambassadors of Elohim, Elohim. But he doesn't mean that they're less binding otherwise. He means that, you know, they lose a dimension of that totality. Anyways.
Isn't batel a very strong lashon?
It is, but it needs to be understood in context, and they're not batel. So I think what he's saying is that component is batel. In the beginning of Parshat Shoftim, we have this pasuk, the first pasuk, Shoftim Shoftim Titan Lecha B'chol Somar Second, B'chol Sha'arecha Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein Lecha Lishvatecha. So we understand that from a pshat point of view, it's a very difficult pasuk, right? It shouldn't have been written. It's kind of written backward. Shoftim V'Shoftim Titan Lecha. It should have been Lechol Shvatecha B'chol Sha'arecha. Instead, it says B'chol Sha'arecha. And it doesn't even say then lishvatecha, which would have been strange. But Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein Lecha lishvatecha. So Obviously, this triggered discussion. Rav Sajagon, Al Atar, basically doesn't explain why, but he Sha'arecha Asher Nasan Hashem Lishvatecha, the Sha'arim of the Shvatim. I mean, the Shvatim are configured in a certain way, ideally in Eretz Yisrael, and in the Sha'arim of the Shvatim, you should have Bate Dina. Rashi also tries to neutralize it. Lishvatecha Melamed Shemoshivim Dayanim Bekol Shevet V'Shevet U Bekol Ir V'Ir. Right, every shevet, every year, but it doesn't explain what the relationship really is. Quoting the Gemara, actually, but it doesn't explain what the relationship is and what it means. In the Mishnah, as we know, it's Moshivin. We had to read it before. What's the language again?
Enos
and Sanedros Lishvatim, right? LLP Bezin Shel Shemiach. So in the Mishnah, this the prominence of Shvatim is clear, but it's a double-edged sword. Right? Because what do I mean by a double-edged sword, Yaakov?
Well, it doesn't mention Shvatim, Shvatim specifically earlier.
It doesn't mention anything about Arim. So you don't know whether it's a separate halacha or this is just a melitza.
Correct.
That, you know, all the, you know, Klal Yisrael is divided up into Shvatim. And all the Shvatim, in addition to there being a national bezin, Sanhedrin Agadol, you also need Bate Dinim for the Shvatim. So in theory, it's more prominent because that's the only thing that the Mishnah is mentioning, the bezin for the Shvatim. On the other hand, you might say, but what it really means is the breakdown, Klal Yisrael is Am Echad, it's Mishpat Echad Yelachem, and therefore, Ki Pale Mimcha Dabar, Bein Dam Ladam, Bein Din Ladin, Bein Nega Lenogad, and that's where you get the single Mishpat Echad. That's why Zaken Mamre is put to death, right? Because he fragments the unity of Klal Yisrael. Meaning, we'll discuss Zaken Mamre. You know, his sincerity is impressive up to a point. He's a man of principle, you know, but by not relenting, you know, when there is a methodology, you know, it becomes about his own ego, number one. And number two, he threatens to fragment the unity of Klal Yisrael. So the Mishpat Echad Yelachem means that all of Halacha is national. But then, you know, the point is that Batei Dinim shouldn't only be national for various reasons that we discussed. So you break, how do you mention and break them down? So in theory, you could say by where people live. You know, Bekol Pelech Upelech, Bekol Ir V'Ir. Another way to say it, if you're actually dealing with the Chalos, you know, categories, you know, breakdown categories of the nation is by focusing on the Shvatim, right? So that's a way to read the Pasuk, B'kol Shvatecha, and that's what Rashi, B'kol Shevet, B'kol Shevet, B'kol Ir, B'ir, is a way of saying, and that's why the Mishnah only mentions Shvatim. It doesn't mean Shvatim per se. There's no Chalos Bezin Shel Shevet. Just that the next unit in Klal Yisrael isn't, you know, coincidentally where people happen to live. It's, you know, what their yichus and what shevet they're associated with. So b'kol shvatecha, you know, is b'kol arecha. It means the next level. Or b'kol shvatecha and b'kol arecha, Rashi ala Torah, is that as well. Problem is that the Gemara in Sanhedrin, later, not a problem, but again, just assessing the evidence on Tezayin and Beis. So the Gemara says here, we read it already. Tazayin shoftim titain shotrim liyisrael minayin shotrim titain shoftim b'kol shevet v'shevet minayin tamlomer shoftim l'shvatecha shotrim b'kol shevet v'shevet minayin shotrim l'shvatecha shoftim b'kol ir v'ir minayin tamlomer shoftim l'sharecha shotrim b'kol ir v'ir minayin tamlomer shotrim l'sharecha. So here again, you know, it's hard to know what to make of it. But you need a separate limud for shoftim in... it's a little bit different than the Mishnah already, right? You need a separate limud both for shoftim and shotrim, right? For shvatim and for arim. Now that still doesn't mean... You know, it sounds like it means that there's something called a bezin shevet. It's not clear that it's a part of the hierarchy. You know, maybe it's part of the just, you know, the quantitative spread. You know, just every city and every shevet, just like Kol Pelech and Kol Ir, which we'll discuss. Hard to know. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Echad Memuna al Kulan, Shenemar Titein Lecha. And then we're told, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Lishvatecha, the Shaftu, Mitzvah B'Shevet, Ladun Es Shifto. So there's certainly something Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is suggesting, that there's some sort of mitzvah for the Shevet. We don't know the scope of that, meaning in the same way that there's a mitzvah to have a bezin in an ear, there's a mitzvah to have a bezin in the Shevet. So that in itself is interesting and important, but not necessarily reaching the point of what we'll see in a moment. We'll finish this up in just a moment, what the Ramban says. Okay, we'll see that in a moment. It's also interesting to note that the Adrama, which I think I gave you, suggests that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. When Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Lishvatecha v'shaftu, mitzvah v'shevet, ladun v'shifto, Rabbi Yehuda, when he says, Echad memuna al kulon, according to the Rama, is rejecting that. Okay, that's interesting, that the Deos and the Gemara are arguing whether there's something called a Bezdin shall shave it. Just like in the Parsha Nut al Torah, right, Rabbi Sajagon was trying to eliminate, you know, a Bezdin, you know, Hashem. Okay. The strongest evidence of that view in Halacha is Rambam. Because right? The Rambam, who is pretty loquacious on these topics, as we know, omits Bezdin Hashem. Right? And I mentioned already at the Aruch Chaim, in his Perush Al HaTorah, I think I mentioned it, takes note of this. He says it's interesting that the Rambam omits Bezdin HaShevet. Maybe he learned like Rav Sajagon. Or maybe even if he accepted the halacha that, you know, every Shevet has a Bezdin Shel Chof Gimel, he thought, fine, that's just like a part of the diffusion. You know, where people live, how they're broken up. You know, even if it exists, it's not a separate halacha. There's a Bezdin Shel Ein Aleph, there's a Bezdin Shel Chof Gimel, there's a Bezdin Shel Gimel. There's no such thing as a Bezdin Shel Shevet per se. But the Ramban goes in the other direction. Before we get to the Ramban, what did the Bali Tosa say? Yeah?
Rabbi Nachmanal, he used out Shevet in his Girsah.
Oh yeah, I didn't notice that. In the Mishnah?
Tetzayin.
Oh, in Tetzayin. Huh. That's interesting. Okay, good. And that might help for the Rambam too, because the Rambam often... One second.
It's still in the Sifri, though.
Enos and son of the Shor, so the... Huh? All Yisrael, Shemamidim Kach B'Kol Ir V'Ir, Tamalama B'Kol Sharecha. Echad Munal Kulam, Lishvatecha. I mean, aside from Shimon Gamliel and Tanakama, it's omitted. Very good, I didn't notice that. Very good. So that works well with Rav Sajagon, and it works well with the Rambam. But what I'm suggesting is, even if the Rambam would, if we had the Rambam here and we could ask him, like, you know, what do? You know, he might say, yeah, there's a Bezdin Shel Shevet. But he might be saying it as he's yawning, like, you know, not important. Meaning, another way to break up to create more accessibility, whatever. But not anything more than that. The Bali Tosis already were obviously bothered by this problem, which is why they say, what, Adam?
That if you have a
Shevet
you have to have a
Beis Hedros. Well, that's already interesting, right? Meaning, because you could have said it just means, you know, different ways to break it up. Now it sounds like, you know, even though, you know, again, if they didn't happen to be, you know, this Bezin could serve the population of the city, per se, you know, so the fact that they're different Shvatim matters. But you could still chalk it up to a kind of more pragmatic thing. Like, I only want justice, you know, I only trust my, you know, fellow Reuvenites, you know, or Dunites, you know, to judge me. I will be judged by a Bezin of my peers, you know. Okay, but it's a very interesting idea. The most interesting, of course, is the formulation of the Rambam. Now, again, just to make it clear, if we were dealing with efficiency or avel, you know, to deterrent, even the present, then Bezdin Shel Shevet per se should not be a factor. If we're dealing with some sort of a network, then obviously it's not mukhrach that there's something called the chalos Bezdin Shel Shevet, but the idea that there might be is interesting, especially or only if that Bezdin Shel Shevet really played a role in the hierarchy. So we're going to finish with this right now, and then we'll speak next time about, to try to finish everything off next time if we can, who's Mimane and who's Nimna and all of that. But that's the Ramban. Did you want to ask something?
The Rambam in Parakeh clearly recognizes the existence of
So I'll get to that. I think again, that's in the we still need to discuss the relationship between Parakeh and Parak Aleph. So we'll get that. But in the others, he omits it. But 100%, that's a good point. So what does Ramban actually say? Anybody have the language open? Ramban, of course, really projected this as a major. Yakir, you have it?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Again, Lishvatecha, that's the it's Perush HaTorah. Lishvatecha, Musa Otidin Lecha,
Lamech, Shirin Beisim, Shirin Shirin, 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 Shirin,
Yeah, I mean he's zeroing in. He's saying what we're all thinking. You know, he's articulating the problem. Go ahead. Which is, of course, what Tosa said.
We talk in the Farish, Shachir Akasa Bunas Basin, Akola Shiva, the Huish Bora Skulam, the Akrete Nimna Basin, Holy Mother, Shish Bora Sagir, the Apple Bishakulam Shabi Briminian, Shin Kakimo, Pin Pasha, the Gil Gil Mamanos, while Hadolim Shabahan Kokma, Yasmano Akola Shiva, Sakhe, and Holy Royal.
This is the hierarchy. You need a supreme court for every Shevet. It's reflected by the quality of the Dayanim who are going to function. Keep going. Which is what we were talking about before, right? In the question that was raised. Go ahead. Maybe when it comes to this option, right, that breaks that rule. That's also a hierarchy theme. Go ahead. Yeah. That's obviously it's a chalos bez nasheved, and it breaks the rules of general venue, you know, the termination. Go ahead. We're not finished yet. Wow. Just like bez nagadol serves a function for Klal Yisrael, that they're the court of appeals or the court that decides, you know, between different, so too the Bezdin shall shevet. Basically, it's a mini bezdin agadol for each shevet. Keep going. Yeah. Wow. So they also have a legislative function in addition to all of that. So they have an additional judicial power by virtue of the quality of the dayanim, as well as, which translates also into breaking the venue rules, right, dispute over venue. They have the capacity, their court of appeals, or that determines psak for its shevet, and in addition to that, they also have a legislative component as well. Okay, is that it? So he compares it to Sugyan Horius, where there is a notion of Bezdin HaShevet, which is important to know. But what's Mechudash about that, Yakir? Is that obvious that that's the same as that? Because here we're talking about a Sichsuk between Balidinim. Or they were talking about where the bezin, the whole shevet, you know, or whole shevet, you know, paskined improperly. That's where the idea comes from. That's a chalos bezin shevet for sure. But you might have said, oh, that's, you know, where they rendered this psak and they're followed. You know, so again, it's a parhelim dav. We'll discuss parhelim davar shel tzibur soon enough. Parhelim davar shel tzibur issue. The idea that also means that when there's a sichsuch between two balei dinim. Right, it's not a shevet matter per se. It's about a chicken, or a cow, or a Volvo, you know, or a loan, or whatever it is. It doesn't make a difference, right? That still there's a din of kfiya or peel, the bezin a shevet. That's an additional element. Okay, keep going.
יאמר שיהיו שופטים לשבטיהם, והם ישפטו בכל שעריהם, ושופטי השבט ישפטו בכל שעריהם.
Okay. There is also a notion that some of Farsha mentioned of this idea of, people being sensitive to the nuances, in some cases, the cultural, I guess, nuances of people in their shevet, or at least there being a perception among the baledinim, that their own dayanim, will give them a better shake. Almost in the same way that in the beginning of the third parak, which we're not up to yet, but I hope to get there. Zebar lechad, is the mechanism, the Gemara says, sheyetze din lamita. So there's a big machokas rishonim, whether that really is an objective statement, that if you use an alternative system to Yimana Dayanim, they're not a standing court, but people selecting their Dayanim, that really brings to greater objective, better conclusions. Or is that just the perception of Baledinim, which is important too, because it makes for an easier transition into shalom or an acceptance, of the din. So one could have said that this did a base beneficial shape that is more about, perception. Or maybe it is a little bit about reality, if you assume that there's a certain cultural context or matrix that, that applies, when the Galil and Yehuda, we talked about last year, Mina Yehuda and Galil, there are sometimes, the same behavior or conduct or language, can mean different things given different cultural contexts. So is that what Bezen Shel Shevet is all about? But the Ramban clearly is saying that this is something much, much, much more fundamental. That is works in very nicely in a networky kind of a way. And the idea that, part of being part of a network is that we're dealing with Bezden Smuchim, that the hierarchy is formalized, that works very nicely as well. Okay, we'll stop here. Tuesday I want to try to finish off the other Makoros that we have, and then we'll discuss the next topics going forward. Tomorrow we'll have regular schedule this week, so we'll do 2 o'clock. So what should we continue with Avos, or we'll do something with Tshuva maybe?
I'm going to take we were thinking maybe Rebbe giving Shira on Gadatas of Chelek.
Of Chelek?
Like real Gadatas letters, Chelek,
yeah. Interesting. Okay, we'll think about that. Okay. But for tomorrow, we'll probably do maybe something in Obas Chuba.
Help me.